Well, part of the reason we're going live today is because Chris Williams and IT do not mix. So I'm afraid I haven't got any little boxes in the corners or at the bottom. I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. So if I look down, I apologize. but yes, this is very surreal. I felt very, very nervous, almost felt intimidated coming in this morning, but we are so blessed in New Life. The guys have just set, if you like, the foundation to just share what is on my heart and what I feel God has been saying to me really for a few months. What I want to do is I want to read Ephesians to you. It's verses that you'll know really well. But I just want to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 3. 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in all the church, and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we get a bit blasé, don't we? You know, we think we know the verses, and so we read through them, but God has really been using these verses over these last maybe 2 or 3 months, just speaking to my heart again. I've been a Christian a long time, but my goodness, when God comes afresh, and just opens up his word again to you. And it just satisfies again that longing within your heart to communicate and to be near to him. I heard somebody say, or I've read it somewhere, that, I mean, you know, everything and Facebook and everything just all gets mixed up to me now. But somebody said to me, we're all in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. And how true that is. For some of us, lockdown has been, you know, a bit inconvenient and a bit of a problem, but we've got through it. But for others, this has been a dreadful, dreadful time. For others, there's been loneliness, there's been illness, there's been missing our families, and it's been a difficult time. I think for me, one thing is, apart from missing my family, one thing it's taught me is, it's probably taught me a lot about myself. I've decided that I was actually born in the wrong era, that I was not born for a technological age. See, I can't even say it. So when I go shopping, I manage to buy 5 kilograms of sugar and 1 banana. For a household that doesn't use sugar, that was quite a feat. I also decided I would try again. I would hang in there and keep trying, keep going. And I found a little photo frame, just about this big. So I decided for the photograph that I would put in and sent away for the photograph. Unfortunately, the photograph came back this big. So I think perhaps I'll give up. Funnily enough, on Wednesday in the small group, we were talking about the language that we're using. I don't ever remember using the words Zoom, mute, in the rest of my life. I can't even remember using those words. Social distancing, what did that mean? Fire breaking, what did that mean? And I often wonder, what the Oxford Dictionary will make of these words in the future, how they will describe them when we come through this. As all ladies do, I carried my handbag with all the absolute essentials that ladies need, like combs and lipsticks and purses and phones and hankies. Now my handbag looks like a first aid box. It's full of masks and hand sanitizers and gloves and everything else that goes with it. And yet, you know, even in my inability to use it, how grateful are we for technology that has kept us in touch? How grateful are we for the guys here who've led us into worship every Sunday and just blessed us, that we've kept in touch? And strangely, in amongst the mayhem, life seems to have gone on. So for Alan and I, we had a gorgeous little grandson born right in the middle of last year. We can look out now and we can see the blossoms and the trees, and it's like, yes, God is faithful. Spring is coming. You know, the blossoms are there. It's not winter forever. And life has gone on. And I'm sure that we've all wondered. I'm sure we've all questioned. I know I have. And maybe in our pain, in our distress, one thing that I've called out to God is, this is such a waste of time. Look what we were doing as a church. We've wasted a whole year. But in my heart, I know that can't be true. Because I know that God is creative, he's industrious, he's a strategist, he's got his finger on the pulse. So I need to look into that. And that's where I was maybe just before Christmas. And I went back to a book that I'd read maybe 5-6 years ago that meant a lot then, but my goodness, means so much more now. And I started to read again the book of Exodus. The problem is, for us standing here now, it's easy to judge and to look at the children of Israel and think, my goodness, what a rabble. I wouldn't have bothered with them. Look what God did. He showed them his power. They had the plagues. He made a way through the sea. He delivered them. But all they did was moan and complain. I think if I was Moses, I would have walked away. But listen to this in Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. And I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek. And I bent down and fed them. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that show God's heart? You and I would have given up. But God never did. Because his plan was always, always to bring his people into goodness. To bring his people into the place that he'd promised. To bring his people into the place that he'd always had on his heart. They couldn't see it. They didn't recognize it. But that was always on God's heart. And what he did for them in that time, maybe, like me, they were saying, what a waste of time. Here we are wandering about. Where's it leading? Where are we going? But what did he do? He formed them into tribes. He gave them leaders. He gave them rules and patterns to live by. And he dwelt amongst them in the tabernacle. It's almost like he brought out a rabble. But he took into the promised land a nation ready to enjoy all that God had for them. So that provoked in me then different questions. Started me thinking. I've been a Christian a long time, and I'm probably one of the senior members of the church. I've never been in anything like this before. Didn't know what to expect, didn't know maybe how to handle it. What was God doing? But then God started planting questions in my heart. What if? What if actually, we're on the threshold of God wanting to do something new. What if God is using this time as preparation? What if God is preparing us for changes? What if God has got some new adventures in his heart just for us? Is this a time to prepare? Well, that's okay. You know, we've got some good guys in New Life. I'm sure they know what to do. And, you know, we'll just fall in behind them and follow on. What if God has been putting a new dream or a new prayer in your heart? How do we prepare for that? See, we can't come together and we can't encourage each other like we used to do. So what's God saying to us? And I think Ephesians has it for us. One of the first things that came to me reading that was, in preparing, doesn't matter how long I've been a Christian, I need to be rooted and grounded every day in his love. Fulfilling our dreams, lives, callings, whatever you want to call it, it's not dependent on what we do. It's dependent upon who we are and what he's done for us. I remember a time when John, David and Abby were still at home. And it seemed the one summer that all three were going to be leaving home within maybe a couple of months of each other. And I can see me now, as I was preparing this, I could see me in the kitchen actually doing ironing. I might add here, I don't do any ironing anymore. But I was then, very conscientious. And just suddenly realizing that my life was going to change. My three children were going to be leaving home, rightly so. We you know, as parents, we make them independent, and that's what we expect. But realizing as well, hang on a minute though, it's not just my three. Often, Alan and I would arrive home on a Sunday to find 12, 13, 14, 16, I think, kids sitting waiting for dinner. There is a few in the church will remember those days. And I loved it. It was who I was, and I enjoyed it. A great bunch of kids, and we just had such an amazing time with them. And so I was telling the Lord just how wrong I think he'd got it. This was too much. You know, three in one go, I don't mind them going, but, you know, space it out, Lord. This is too much. And from that moment, God just spoke to me. He said, Chris, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are in me. It's about who I am to you. We are so blessed. The worship this morning, the PA guys, we are so blessed in New Life. But it's not about what they do. It's about who they are in Christ. We've sung it this morning, haven't we? That he gave himself for us. We were so special. We were so loved. We were so adored. It's all about a loving God. Because things change. Because my three children did leave home. And my life did change. If I'm relying on what I do, where does that leave me? But I can trust him with every step of my life. Knowing that I am precious. Knowing, as we sang, that he died for me. And over, it took a long time. It took a long time. I had to learn how to love a father. I didn't have that role model. I had to learn how to love a father. And God was so, so generous and so loving. And he taught me, Chris, your name is written on the palm of my hands. Do you know what, Chris? My banner over you is love. Do you know what? I rejoice over you with singing, and I quieten you with my love. Do you know what? With that amount of love comes security. When it's difficult, and we've gone through some difficult times, every family does, that's life. But when I go through those difficulties, the one thing that is certain, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. I don't have to wake up in the morning and decide, what can I do to please him today? He loves me. When I mess up, when I get it wrong, he loves me. And that is the secure place that I can live and function from. I can trust him with my life. That has to be the bedrock. That has to be the foundation of everything that we are, everything that we do as individuals, as a church. The bedrock is he loves me. And I am accepted. That's the incredible thing. I am accepted by God Almighty. It talks about Christ dwelling in your heart. For me, this led me down the path of knowing his word. Not in here, necessarily, although we're not bypassing the mind. We need to know, we need to think, but knowing it in here. We need to know the word that encourages, that strengthens, that blesses, that leads us, that guides us, and chastises. I remember a few years ago, being particularly ill and feeling very sorry for myself as well. But one particular night was very difficult. And that day I'd read, I think I may have shared this at some point, but there we are. That day I read the verse, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe." And I can remember lying in bed, just not able to sleep, feeling really quite rough. And thinking, right, now, I need to get hold of the faith and I need to, you know, battle this out and I need to, you know, repeat this verse and I need to say it with strength. I tried that. It didn't really do a lot for me at the time. And it was almost like when I stopped fighting, when I was so tired and exhausted, it was almost like God comes to me, you know, like a father gently and said, right, Chris, have you finished now? Can I get a word in? Now, let me say the verse to you. Chris, my name to you is a strong tower. You can run to me and you are safe. Doesn't that change it? Doesn't that change it? I think it's Spurgeon who said, when you think you've got hold of the word, the chances are the word has got a hold of you. And that's what we need. That's what we need. That, you know, it's almost like Blackpool Rock. If you chopped us in half, it would be the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Running right through us. Running through everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we say. You know something? We have this life to offer to our community. But what struck me was, if the word is not life to us, it will never be life out there. We can only offer the words that have become so embedded in us, that have become a part of who we are. And then what does the Bible say? Springs of living water will flow out, will gush out. And as we share that word, it will bring life. It will bring healing. But it can only do that if it's deep, if there's a deep well within us of his word. And then we need to look to be strengthened with power through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a mentor. Sometimes I wonder if he's a little bit of like the Cinderella. We all talk about, you know, God and Jesus, and sometimes the Holy Spirit gets put on the back burner very often. And yet he's the one that becomes a mentor to us, that leads us, that guides us, that enables us. Romans 8 talks about the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in our bodies. I have nothing to say because I don't know how to explain that. That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and can quicken our mortal bodies. Sometimes, and I hold my hand up here, we're too busy to listen. So sometimes the Spirit is speaking to us, whispering to us, but we're so busy that we don't tune in to his voice. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable, because very often the Spirit may decide to mess with our plans, to mess with our diaries. So sometimes we don't want to listen. But lockdown, I find, has given me time again to tune in to his voice, to pick up the voice of the Spirit, and to hear again what he's got to say. I suppose then, what I felt was, looking at these three things, it then almost comes to crunch time. Because the last bit I felt was that his power is working in us and through us. Oh dear. So where does that leave me? What sort of response do I have to give? Isaiah 6, 8, just that little phrase, here am I, send me. You know, the patriarchs and the guys in the Old Testament particularly, we revere them. They've, you know, moved in God in amazing ways, and, you know, we use them as people to look up to. But when I looked again, very often, those Old Testament leaders didn't actually rush forward when God's voice called. Very often they were hiding. Very often they were running away. You know, it's like in a prayer meeting, if you ask somebody to close in prayer and everybody's head goes down, you know? They didn't rush forward. But God doesn't need to read our CVs. He's not looking for a profession, but he's looking for a hand that says, here am I. I'm scared, I'm nervous, I have not a clue what I can do for you, Lord, but here am I. I'm just willing to do what you want me to do. What I feel is as well is, you know, if we thought we needed a fresh move of the Holy Spirit 2 years ago, my goodness, don't we need it now? We are coming out into a broken world. We are coming out where we've got families desperate. We just need to look around, feeding Fairwater. We're looking at men who've lost their jobs, women who've lost their jobs, families on the breadline. We're looking out at people who are needing healing. We're looking at people who have felt lonely. We're looking at people who felt isolated. We've seen a rise in abuse. We've seen children self-harming. Trafficking has increased. We seem to only hear of anger and hopelessness and hatred. You turn on the television, you watch the news, and people are just desperate. I, for one, am desperate to see people set free. I can't see any other way. As good as our leaders are, and we honour the leaders of our country, they don't have the answer. They do what they can. But you know something? We have the words of life. How incredible is that? How incredible is that? Yes, Corinthians tells us, in earthen vessels. Oh my goodness, yes. I may get something right today and I may get it wrong tomorrow. Yes, in earthen vessels. But we have the words of life. We have power through the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of our generation. This is not just a thing for the big meeting. So this is not just something that we reserve now for when we come back together, you know, and God moves and it's going to be amazing. God is in the business of using us as we are, where we are. He's in the coffee shop when you talk to that person who's feeling desperate. And you've got those words pouring forth, words of life. He's in that neighbour who might be, with the neighbour who's feeling lonely, who may be grieving, who maybe hasn't seen family for a year. And you just come in with something and God takes it and causes it to burst onto that person, into that heart. It's in that bunch of flowers that you give. It's in that card that you write. It's in that little text that you send. I remember when I wrote this, I was reminded of a time Alan and I went to a particular shop. And we were waiting, you know, as you do, in the queue. And there was a lady in front of us and a young man on the desk. And he'd obviously been there all day. And my, oh my, was she giving this young man what for? He hadn't, as far as I was aware, done anything wrong. She maybe was going through a difficult time herself, and so she was venting onto this young man. And so when Alan and I then got to this young man to get our groceries, we just affirmed him and thanked him for what he was doing. You're doing a great job. Do you know what? The response you get when you do that is amazing. How many times we just said thank you and people are like, ooh, you know, somebody said thank you. Everything that we give, we can give knowing that the power of the Spirit is behind us. And I believe looking in through the Word, looking through the history, that God's heart for us is to bring us in to all that he's got for us. It's to bring us in to that freshness of the Spirit, to bring us in to newness of life, to bring us in to those things that have been on our hearts. God hasn't taken a sabbatical. He hasn't forgotten about us. He's still planning. He's still loving. He's still caring. He still wants. His heart is breaking as much as ours. What I want to encourage you to do this week is not to spend hours looking for your ministry or your calling or whatever that is. What I want you to do is to look again at those verses in Ephesians. I want you to first and foremost find that connection of love with the Father again. For many of us, we may not have felt that this year. We may have felt forgotten. We may have felt abandoned. Can I say to you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Don't try and be anything, don't try and do anything, don't try and achieve anything. Just sit with the Father. Just let him love you. Just let him mend that heartache, that brokenness. Just let him fix it. Let him mend it. Let him love you through it. Know that you are loved. You are loved. You are cherished. For some, the word has maybe become dry. And for all of us, I'm sure we've all experienced that. Take those moments. It's not a race. We don't need to, you know, read through the Bible in a day. Maybe God is just taking one verse. But allow him to make it real to you. Allow the verse to grab you. So in those days ahead, when we come through all this, when we're out there in the community, that word becomes life and pours from you to bring life to those that are around you. For me, I think this year was just tuning into the Holy Spirit again and hearing his voice. Being quicker to hear what he's got to say. Being quicker to follow what he's asked me to do. Give yourselves time. Give yourselves leeway. Don't be hard on yourself. God isn't. God is loving you. God is caring for you. God wants to bring you as individuals, but I believe as a church, God has got good things. That's his heart. That's his heart. It's to bring us into blessing. It's to bring us into goodness. It's to bring us into life. It's to bring us into a freshness of knowing him and of knowing the Holy Spirit working through us. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, I just thank you that we can stand before you, that I can stand before you saying, I am loved, I am cherished. Father, I just pray that as we come to you as individuals, as we come to you as a church, that God, you will pour again the freshness of your Holy Spirit upon us. That, Lord, you will make your presence, your word, your spirit exciting again. Lord, that you will touch us, that you will heal us, that you will draw us in, that you will minister. You know us, Lord. We may be separated, but you know us so well. Father, will you just help us this week to come back, to focusing on you. Father, so we can sing, as Pete led us this morning, that I'm no longer a child of fear. I'm a child of God. Will you do that, Father, this week? And refresh, we pray. Amen.